One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When Ashley Westwood got Burnley Player of the Year, it was like, oh, well, look, look, see, he was good. We just hounded him out. He got Burnley Player of the Year. Think how low that bar is. He got Burnley Player of the Year because he did exactly what was asked of him, which was, as you say, put his head down and hit the ball high. And yeah, he can probably hit the ball high better than Ben Mee. Like, that's how you get Burnley Player of the Year. That is not an achievement.
Hi guys, Jack Grealish here. Delighted to say that I've signed a new deal with Aston Villa. That morning sky gave me a look. So I left while you were sleeping.
That's all it took. And honestly, like, that sums up everything I feel right now. Like, I felt sick to the stomach watching that game. Had he actually leave the room at one stage? I could call petulance. I just didn't know what to do with myself. Two chances, three goals. First one is the first corner, the first shot. They get the first goal. And you think, ugh, that's ridiculous. Sort of going to come because we've missed so many chances and we've been controlling the game. It's almost funny. It's like, of course. Then a cross goes straight into the net. And yet again, you're just sort of reaffirmed. Burnley are atrocious to watch. Like, this is unfair. Then another cross and another goal. And at this stage now, it's on you. Like, you have to start taking some responsibility. Like, you know, it's unforgivable they concede three goals to Burnley, especially when they're only getting a couple of chances. And I mean a couple of chances. And I am just fed up. Like, Villa were good, whatever. Do you know what else I'm fed up with? I'm fed up not being allowed to dissect a game without everyone having to tell me how well Villa are going. Hasn't this been great compared to 12 months ago? Everything's going in the right direction. I know that! You don't need to tell me that. I don't need to qualify every single thought I have with the overall idea that Villa are going better than they were 12 months ago when they finished 17th. This was a terrible, terrible result. And overall, a terrible game. It's actually the best half of football I've seen Villa play in the last 3 years, which is really saying something. And then the second half was probably the worst. They conceded three goals to Burnley. I don't need everybody coming out saying, relax, it's going in the right direction. This was shit. Let's look at this. Let's just look at this and call for what it is. And if anybody's saying that Dean Smith needs to be sacked, then obviously don't talk to them. But let's look at this match, which was diabolical. Welcome to the show, Liam.
Thanks, Colin. Yeah, I like losing to Burnley. When you think about the fact that we lost against a team managed by Sean Dyche, like, this is a team that considers a free kick in their own half as an opportunity. It's really fucking galling. I think whenever you consider how Villa played, the mistakes they made, how sloppy they were, the nature of the fucking goals. I mean, you said they conceded from a cross. It was a fucking trickled cross.
Yeah.
Howley didn't deal with the bit of pressure either in the first 10 minutes or in the second half. And they're playing against Burnley. All you have to do is match their effort, front up to the pressure, and you'll win. They're a shit team. full of shit bastards, but who thoroughly deserved to win last night because Villa were a fucking shambles.
You only know what my Wednesday was. Genuinely, like this, like, and this, none of this is a lie, and I could not have had a worse day. Got up, went to put on a lovely orange jumper that I bought overpriced, obviously, had shrunk in the wash, and it wasn't salvageable. Tried to stretch it out, you know, before I ended up just throwing it into the wash basket for some reason, even though it's washed. Went to work in the living room, finished work, stood up and closed the curtains, because that's what I have to do every day now. You finish work and it's dark and you have to close the curtains, there's no commute. Watched that absolute catastrophe. And then had to turn it on mute for most of the time because the commentators were awful. Walked out of the room, like I told you. I don't know why, but I had to just get out of shot. So what I did then is went out for a run, tried to release something in me. It was absolutely pissing down, stood on about 8 ankle-deep puddles. But I was looking forward to getting back, getting a nice shower, looking at my stats on my watch. But my watch had died after 2K. Honestly, got home, forgot to turn on the immersion, didn't I? Like, that was my Wednesday, and you know, all that stuff should have been the worst, but like, it was the 35 minutes in the second half, which was terrible, and the most disappointing thing was Villa's failure to deal with it. I was so impressed, actually, in the first half, at, like, just the bravery, people going and taking the ball. There was a lot of clamour for Nakamba, and I saw in the first half exactly why he wasn't playing, because Dougie Luiz and John McGinn were coming short, deliberately taking the ball off the keeper, turning on the ball, carrying it, playing a nice pass. They were dragging Burnley out of positions. And then what was happening when they were coming deep and leaving that space in the middle, Ross Barkley or Douglas Luiz was flying into it. So it was actually going really well. They took the ball under pressure. And then the single bit of adversity that they faced, they all just started panicking and stopped doing what they were doing. And it made me think, Christ almighty, what are they going to be like with some fans in the stadium? You know, like, they all just started getting jittery, and like, the ball was bouncing. It's the same way it was doing in the first half. Burnley just putting it up and hoping somebody can back into someone. And Villa started freaking out.
Yeah, I think the worst thing about that is that they dealt with it in the first half, so they knew what they had to do. In the first 13 minutes, Villa were an absolute shambles. And to be fair, Burnley's pressure and aggression, you know, mixed with how tight they were in defence, was really good. And they threw a couple of crosses, nothing particularly interesting, into the box. But we were able to turn the game with how aggressive we were being in possession. Like, I've never seen a team that plays the ball around the corner, around the man, or through the middle so often and so willingly. We have an inordinate amount of players that are willing to take risks. McGinn will use his arse in every scenario. He actually played a blind arse early on in the first half. If Dougie can see any part of a teammate, no matter how dense the forest of Burnley nobodies is, he'll play the pass. And the front four always looking to cause an imbalance, either with a through ball or by beating the man. And he even saw that risk taken paying off for the second goal with McGinn. Instead of just popping the ball out to the side, he played the ball through the middle to Grealish. And he eventually got turned and played the 1-2. But then, so like that just can't, that we weathered the storm. But then whenever Burnley upped their intensity again, we upped their fucking idiocy, and we just turned into a mess again for the last 35 minutes. It was so depressing because we had already shown how to deal with it and how to beat it.
Depressing doesn't even come close to it. And there were just so many other frustrations as well throughout the game. And again, this is probably made more frustrating because of the first half, yeah, being so good, like you mentioned. But the fact that Burnley got one yellow card in that first half alone, never mind the whole game, is genuinely embarrassing. You know, I don't know how often referees do reviews of each other, but like, so all anybody needs to do is watch that game and realise that I actually don't think Burnley made a tackle that wasn't a foul. Like, you know, like, any time they had a chance to tackle, they just fouled someone, especially in the first half, because they were completely second best. Tarkowski studs up on Watkins. That was the only yellow card. Nothing else said about it. Not even looked at. Just the same as the Andy Carroll thing. And 4 minutes added on exactly. And I think we got 53 seconds of game time. Like, the first minute of injury time was wasted. 40 seconds of it was wasted by Burnley not taking a corner. Now, it was over 40 seconds. It went from 89-50 into 90-40. And, you know, the play wasn't brought into action, and the referee didn't give a shit. As soon as it hit 4 minutes, bang, whistle was blown. Like, it's not as simple as that. Yet again, I have to caveat it with, this is the Premier League. And you, like, I actually don't want to hear anybody ever again, including Pep Guardiola, give out about time wasters, a team time wasting or a player time wasting. They are always rewarded, consistently rewarded. It makes sense to time waste. Referees do not add the time on. And like, this is, I don't want to get away from Villa, but like that was particularly golden.
Yeah, but it's a great story, isn't it? That slobbering bunch of howling underdogs winning against Villa.
Yeah.
The yellow card thing is just why is a yellow card? Like, this whole thing that everybody feeds into, like, it's bad enough whenever you hear commentators saying it, but whenever you see referees going along with it, that a yellow card tackle is not a yellow card unless it's after the 10th minute, is just absolutely fucking bonkers. And is what leads to fucking Tarkovsky's type tackles. Like, you can't just be allowing people to do that. You get free reign to just scythe somebody down in the first 10 minutes of a game, unpunished. I don't think he can get sent off in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, no matter what you do, yeah.
If Tarkovsky's getting a yellow card, then it is impossible to get a red card.
And actually, yeah, you're right. Like, because referees not only take that approach anyway, they're encouraged to take that approach. Everything about football is set up for referees to manage the game in the first 10 minutes and set the terms. You know, rather than actually just referee the fucking match, the first 10 minutes are included in the match. If you make a red card challenge, the referee should be looking at a red card.
Yeah. Where do we stop with that? You can't fucking score in the first 10 minutes either because Burnley haven't set themselves up yet. They're still getting the grist of the game by going into people's ankles.
Talk quickly about another great ball across from Matt Target. Lovely finish from Ollie Watkins. We'll get into some of the mischances. And Douglas Luiz, great ball across. Great finish from Jack Grealish. But Jack Grealish almost again scored the goal of the season again. When he took it down the sideline with Sean Dyche's arms and his beard waving behind him. took it by three players, although when I look back, Loughton and actually Westwood were two of them, so it was like, ah, doesn't really count. Amazing, unbelievable run. Very, like, definitely right to take it on himself, but left foot straight at the keeper. Disappointing finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the run was so good, it was almost amusing, and it was even more gratifying to see that it was Loughton and Westwood, if you ask me. But like, the best thing about that is he takes a pass three people on the volley, on the wing. Like, it was insane how he was able to do that. That's part of the fear that he carries now for people. Eventually takes a pass to fourth, and yeah, the shot's not great, but it was good. I think we should talk about Grealish a bit, though. I mean, I woke up a few days ago with a message from New that just said, Grealish has four yellows. And this was very early in the morning. So I suspect having that on your mind kept you up and ruined your night and your sleep. I fucking hope it did it, because it ruined my day thinking about it then. And what a fucking message to send someone first thing in the morning. But because of that, every time Villa didn't score from an attack, I was watching Grealish throwing his hands in the air, shaking his head, having a whinge, and thinking, he's going to get booked. So not only did you ruin me Monday, you ruined me whole enjoyment of the match. But I thought Grealish was trying too hard. He was searching for things. He was trying to win it all himself. I mean, you could see how happy he was when someone finally played him the fucking ball back. He was screaming for it, and he was so grateful whenever Dougie picked him out in the box. He did some incredible things, but that's his baseline. I just didn't think he was on it. He wasn't at his level. I mean, he turned down a few chances to go at people. His decision making wasn't there because he was going at people when he shouldn't be. He just wasn't as laser sharp as he normally is in every scenario. I actually thought Grealish was a big reason why we didn't get back in the game after Burnley scored their third goal and just dropped back.
He was, right, and actually it's funny. I had a WhatsApp whinge for it, which we'll get into next, but I didn't put it in because I thought this is too much. Like, I don't want to just start blaming Grealish because everything else has gone wrong. And I did see a lot of people, what was the term, hero ball. And there was, do you remember that one where he had the ball, dated the box, and like the left back was on, this is our own box. And he spends 10 seconds trying to take a pass somebody who's tackling him well and he's shouldering him and and you know, Grealish is trying to face up to it physically, ends up winning a throw, you know, and it's all he had to do is pass it to the left back who was completely free and go again. And yeah, there's definitely a petulance. There's a part of me, and sometimes I don't mind as, like, say, Ronaldo, because it helps the team overall, you know, when they're selfish and they just want to get their own numbers up. There's a part of that that's creeping in the Grealish's game, where I was sort of wondering, is he happy now anyway that he got the goal? Does he care about the result? But then, yeah, you look at the frustration everywhere else, and like, no, like, this was the WhatsApp point. I was thinking I'd nearly take Grealish off, but that's why you didn't put it in. But honestly, it needs to be managed a bit more. It needs to be read a bit more.
I would have smashed my phone if I got that message through. No, like, the Ronaldo comparison, I don't think really works. I mean, that's how Ronaldo has always played, and that's what gets him 50, 60 goals. The reason Jack Grealish is so good is because he doesn't do that. He doesn't try to win the game on his own. He uses his teammates. He finds passes. He creates chances. It's not just by trying to skin everybody on the pitch whenever they're all camped inside their own box. He has to be a bit clever. He has to be a bit nuanced. He has to realize 5 minutes is a very fucking long time in a game of football.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to score every time you have the ball, and you definitely don't have to try to score yourself every time you have the ball. I mean, you're right. This is a ridiculous conversation, because Grealish did some absolutely incredible things yesterday. And when you do that, you probably shouldn't be giving out about him too much.
That's sort of why I was trying to hold back on it. But you're right, like, and he was definitely, like, once it was 3-2, he was one of those worst players or one of the biggest contributors to not getting back in the game. And it was very clear that they weren't going to get back in the game. That was the saddest thing. That's why I could leave the room for 2 minutes.
Well, they definitely weren't going to get back into the game without Jack Grealish being Jack Grealish.
Yeah. And that's two games against Burnley, one draw, one loss. You've taken 4 points from us. And do you know what the average XG expected goals was over the two games? Villa 2.74, Burnley 0.54, and they've taken 4 points, 3 goals against us. Yeah, very disappointing. WhatsApp whinges now.
Mike Ashley has turned Newcastle into a discount sports company and appointed a discounted bargain basket manager. Glenn Roeder, Kenny Dalglish, Sam Allardyce, and Steve Bruce. What a fucking parade of cavemen. Like, that is the only reason Andy Carroll is a professional footballer.
Only Steve Bruce and Neil Warnock have got promoted more times than Mick McCarthy. That's not even a good stat, because the good managers kept their teams up and then progressed their careers. Dean Smith will never get another team promoted from the Championship because he won't be there. Brendan Rodgers won't get another team promoted from the Championship because he won't be there.
Pep Guardiola once again revealed himself to be a cunt. Do me a fucking favour, as if Jack Grealish needs to go play under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to progress his career. That is absolutely a step backwards.
Put this on record, United won't be within 10 points of the title. I genuinely believe that, and I'm not even trying to exaggerate, it's not hyperbole. 3-4 games of bad run, United are out of the title race. Like that, and that will happen to them. That will definitely happen.
What gets Sean Dyche out of bed in the morning? Like, how does he do it? Imagine how exciting a job that would be. Imagine coming home and saying to your partner, I got a new job! I'm a football manager! And then going out and doing that with it? What a waste of time! Steve Bruce is a graying pair of Slazenger socks in the basket by the checkout that nobody wants.
What's up, whinges? I don't even have enthusiasm to come in with a different tone. Aston Villa outfought by Burnley. Dean Smith outthought by Sean fucking Dyche.
I'll take the first one. Get fucked with the second one. I was going to come in there whenever you said they've taken 4 points from us. They haven't. Like we've given them 4 points. Like there's nothing Dean Smith can do about Aston Villa having 27 chances in the first game and El Ghazi missing them all. There's nothing that Dean Smith can do about the fact that Tyrone Mings allows Matt Target to have to pick up Chris Wood.
Let's do that, because like, how did that happen? Like, what is happening there? Why is Matt Target on Chris Wood in the middle of the box?
It's fucking insane. I have absolutely no idea. No matter how many times I looked at the replay, I cannot figure out how that happened. It's good play from Wood. Like, you know, he's obviously identified that he doesn't want to stand next to 6'5" Tyrone Mings and just drifts to the back post. But I don't think Tyrone Mings should be allowing that to happen.
Never.
Target should be screaming at him as well. It's a fucking brilliant header from Wood.
Yeah.
It's all the more annoying because I hate that bastard. But yeah, like for that to be allowed to develop, it's like that's just an in-game management thing. There's nothing Dean Smith can do about that. That isn't clever thinking from Sean Dyche either. That's all about Chris Wood, and that's all about Villa's defence allowing it to happen.
But like it sort of fed into what was happening in the second half. So Burnley did get the groups better with Villa. Like they fought a bit more. Their shape was better. They weren't getting caught out. They weren't even their sort of middle exposed, like I mentioned in the first half. And then that ball, the ball that just goes in behind Matt Cash and bounces up, and the centre forward comes in behind Matt Cash to get it, and now it's like a 2-on-1. Like that does seem manufactured. It's rolled out to McNeil, who has time to set himself up because God knows where Traore's gone, and it's floated in. And yeah, good header. And it honestly just felt like Burnley came out and had answers for everything Villa were doing, because Villa were destroying them. So for Burnley to even match that is a big win for Sean Dyche. But they had the answers for off the ball, and then it is so sad that this could be celebrated, but they had the answers then to put Villa under pressure by bouncing it in behind the fullbacks. Like the first corner, see how they won their first corner of the game? It was Tyrone Mings battling with Chris Wood for 10 metres as the ball was bouncing towards the end line. And the two of them just pulling each other and ended up falling over the top of each other. And the ball ended up going out of play for a corner. Mings laughing, picks Wood up off the ground, not knowing that you're about to concede a fucking goal from the only corner of the match. But, I know it's basic, and I know you'd be reluctant to give Sean Dyche credit, but yeah, the fact that Villa couldn't deal with it. Dean Smith needs looking at.
I mean, like you say, Burnley had the answers. The answers they were given was the equivalent of someone just sticking their fingers in the air and going la 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 la. A fairly fucking blunt answer, you know. It's yeah, brilliant. They said kick the ball long over the top to our centre forwards, and they'll just run over the top and battle, and hopefully it'll hit off Tyrone Mings' shins as he falls to the ground, and then we'll just toss. Fair enough, like a couple of delicious crosses into the box and hope that our huge centre halves or our huge centre forwards will get, like, there's nothing clever about that. Like, they're not answering anything with any nuance or haven't thought about the question.
Well, second part of this whinge is the second WhatsApp whinge. Afraid to make a fucking sub yet again. You know, like, this is annoying because What's the point of developing a squad if you're not going to use a squad? Villa didn't have a squad at the start of the year, right? But, like, Trezeguet was starting and doing quite well. For as much as we were saying he's the weak link, he was still doing all right, and he still, like, gave us a lot of important goals only a few months ago at the end of last season. El Ghazi was starting and doing brilliantly. And we also know that, and we've seen it now in the last two games, Barkley just fucking disappears after 60 minutes, and Traore becomes more unpredictable. Like, the fact that, like, sub should have been made at 1-1. It should have been made at 2-1. Definitely should have been made at 2-2. And then they made it a 3-2 when Grealish had his head was gone. You know, Villa started reacting then with 10 minutes to go. It was too late. Like, we're just reluctant to like, it was obvious, even before Burnley started scoring or putting them under more pressure, it was obvious Villa needed something different, a bit of freshness, and they were afraid to make it.
Yeah, I think it's strange that both Barkley and Traore stayed on the pitch for as long as they did. And I think it's strange that they've started every game without question for the last three games, because there's big questions about how the two of them play. Like, Barkley is... The two of them are so erratic. for some reason, I find it more irritating with Barkley because he's such a big name and because I've given him big talking up in this show before. Traore, we've talked about Traore. You don't know what he's going to do. I generally like that. But whenever you don't know what he's going to do in the final third then, and he's just missing chances, or he's taking too long on the ball, or he's overhitting passes, overhitting crosses, skying free kicks, it's like, yeah, get him off. Like, Ghazi scored 5 goals in 6 games in December. Give him a run out earlier than he did. And whenever El Ghazi came on, he did well. Put in that dangerous cross at the end. Didn't come to anything, but, you know, it was the best thing Villa had done in 10 minutes. The two of them did very well to stay on the pitch. And I said this last week as well, which is worrying. I can't be saying this after every show. I don't know. Dean Smith didn't pick El Ghazi at the start of the season. Brought him on. He scored a penalty. Was almost forced into picking him because Trezeguet was injured. He just doesn't fancy El Ghazi, I'd say.
Well, this sort of leads into the next one. Traore is a careless asshole. Do you know, like, I understand where you're coming from and what you said all along, that you like the unpredictability, you like that he's going to try something. I don't care. Like, this is probably why I'm more forgiving of Barkley than you are. I don't care if somebody loses the ball, but it's the manner that he loses it. It's when there's something on, and he's just trying to do a little Ronaldinho sort of, you know, that when you drag the ball out and try to bring it back inside, and he just kicks it away out for a goal kick while everybody has streamed into the box, busted their balls to get in. And they must hate playing with him. He tries to flick it around the corner all the time without looking, loses the ball, doesn't seem to care, almost gave away a goal when he's under hit one to Tyrone Mings, who was not expecting it. You know, yet again, just sort of coming into the, like, one of those ones where it's like, if I get a pass completed, that's a mark beside my name. Whereas, you know, Mings has to clear it anyway. So Traore should just clear it when he's got the chance. So it's passing the buck for somebody else to clear it. But yeah, like, I'd actually written down after the first half, does Traore have the best first touch in world football? Because I think he might. Like, him and Douglas Luiz just seem to be able to catch the ball on their feet. It's amazing to see, but it's what he's doing. Like, in the final third, like, you're right, it's the final quarter more. You know, when people are in positions and he just doesn't seem to care that he... Again, it's the manner. I wouldn't care if he's trying to... even the crosses, they're frustrating, but it's okay trying to put the ball in the box. But he just loses the ball trying to take a pass somebody who doesn't need to be taken pass, or he just kicks it out of play when it doesn't need to be. And also, finally, he just hates... Like, because he doesn't have a right foot, and you might laugh considering his goal against Newcastle, but he will not go on an overlap. Like, he doesn't do it. Or even when Cash is coming forward, he won't even go ahead of him. He always just wants to come inside, which is really debilitating when you're Villa then, because, you know, like, if you're a Burnley left-back, you know you have nothing to worry about the whole game. He's not put under pressure.
Yeah, look, I don't like his unpredictability whenever the chance is there. I mean... There's so many times where you just have to be decisive. You just have to play the ball properly, or just, you know, even just try to play it. But he doesn't. Yeah, he turns that down a lot. That's not where I like him being unpredictable. I like him being unpredictable whenever there's a need to cause the imbalance to get the chance. It's whenever he gets the chance and he's just so wild and erratic, that's the problem. But he's so fucking talented. You talked about his first touch, his ability to go past people. The way he manipulates the ball is—it's all incredible, and I can see why managers at Chelsea and Lyon and now Villa have signed him, because he's absolutely dripping with talent, and it is just about getting that decisiveness into his game in the final third. You find this a lot with people who are really, really talented; they just can't resist showing how talented they are.
Yeah,
will try yet another drag back. They will try yet another flick around the corner that's needless to a worse player in a worse position. Sometimes you just have to play the pass or have the shot. So whenever he's wild in that situation, I don't like it. Yeah, like, it's ultimately frustrating, and I just don't know. Based on what Lyon fans said about him, based on what Chelsea fans, or based on the fact Chelsea let him go, I don't know if he's going to get that into his game. It'll be interesting to see over the season, but it could just be a player who's ultimately flattering to deceive.
Well, Chelsea letting him go is probably the best reference that he could have, considering the collection of players that they've let go.
Mm, that's
Burn, Burnley have the ugliest collection of individuals in England. Like, not only are they the ugliest team in England, like, just the face on some of those lads. Like, McNeil, Wood. Like, Wood looks like a big a big GA midfielder, doesn't he?
Right.
Pope looks like a dork. Tarkowski, me. Like, J-Rod and Brady look all right. But just, they're just horrible to look at. Like, in every sense of the word. Like, you know, you don't need to come back on that one, don't worry.
No, I think the way they look, I think, just the way they celebrate, when you see those shit bastards having achieved nothing on the pitch of any note other than the fucking victory, and you see them doing the double fist pump and all, like, fuck off, lads. Congratulations, you ran really hard. And I know that is laudable in some circumstances, but you're professional footballers and you're fucking shite at it. At least have the humility to walk off the pitch thinking, got away with that one again.
Yeah. Surely City will just buy back Louise anyway, if for nothing else but to sell him on.
What's the release clause?
It's 20-odd million, 25 million, and it's up on the 5th of June. Like, it just makes sense. It makes business sense. Otherwise, you're just leaving behind millions for the sake of it. Like, you'd definitely go for over 30. So even if it was 30, why would you not just buy him back and sell him on for 30 to Villa?
Oh, I haven't thought about that. This is as bad as getting the Jack Grealish is on 4 yellow cards. This is just pissing me off for the rest of the night. Oh, Christ. If City buy back Dougie, I think they'll keep him for a start.
That's a big possibility. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, at least, I think there's no way that they're not buying him back. So even if they don't want them, which they will, because Fernandinho's leaving, it just makes sense to buy him back, even if you don't want to keep him.
Yeah, it makes sense from every angle, so thanks for that.
Last one. Is Davis winding me up?
Jesus Christ. I mean, his first touches went 20 yards away from him. One to Matt Lauten and one out for a goal kick. What the fuck was that about? I mean, the first one came in, and the way his body shape was so bad that he ended up doing what would be a Rabona, but he didn't mean to. He was just trying to short his feet.
He was trying to readjust his feet. The ball was caught underneath his body, and he tried to readjust his feet and ended up, as you say, back heeling it. But so far away from himself that it went to the right back.
But like, how can you hit the ball that hard when you're readjusting your feet? It doesn't make any sense.
It shows how clumsy he is. Like, how hard are you moving your foot? Yeah, swinging your foot to try and get it, like, try and move it 2 inches behind the ball that's underneath you.
And the worst thing about that is he was under no pressure. He was standing on his own. Like, Burnley had boxed off around him, but there was nobody close to him.
I think he had 3 involvements, and like, you're right, like, the only 2 touches he had was that one, which was pitiful, and then the first touch that went out for a goal kick. You know, like, again, under no pressure, he just tries to take a touch and it goes 15 metres out for a goal kick. And then the first involvement they had was to watch Jack Grealish under a high ball, but not contest. Like, Jack Grealish isn't contesting it. Jack Grealish is looking at him going, are you coming in here? I'm not going up for it. I'm Grealish. And Davis just stands there looking at it, and Burnley take the ball away. And I was like, what are you on for? And yet again, and this could go into WhatsApp whinges, and it already has been there, where is Wesley? Because if we're only using Davis for 2 minutes every 9 weeks, like, surely Wesley can do that.
Well, I think I've given out before about question maybe the fact that Wesley's English is unbelievably bad and he doesn't know what the nearly means and nearly there. But the Villa account now is trolling us. They're putting up, you know, 2 Brazil flags and a shaking hands in between with him and Dougie. Where the fuck is he?
I don't know. They also put up a picture of him saying to Jack Grealish, can't wait to play with you, bro. And Grealish saying, soon. I was like, oh, he must be back. This was like for the Newcastle match. 2 games later, no sign of him, not a whiff.
That must have been a grammatical error from Jack. It must have been soon?
Anyway, we're going to some categories.
I burst onto the scene, didn't I? And I was going to be the next best thing.
Oh, who was it that said? There was an interview somebody recently, and they said that he's always positive. It was Micah Richards.
Hold on, I played for England at 18, youngest ever defender to play for England.
It was Micah Richards, he was talking on Sky Sports, and he said he's always positive. Sometimes you wish he wasn't as positive. Like, he almost he said he was too nice.
Right.
What do you think of that?
I think Micah Richards should shut the fuck up. What the fuck has Micah Richards ever done for Aston Villa? Dean Smith got Aston Villa promoted from 14th in the championship. Micah Richards was just there collecting 40 grand a week while that was all happening.
Oh, he's just brilliant. He's just top. What a guy to work with, you are, honestly.
Oh, the Ronnie Rosenthal Award. Take your fucking pick. Starts off first corner of the game. Konsa, free header, misses. Ben Mee puts that away, and he did put it away. Second one I had was Traore from Grealish teeing it up for him. Great, great Matt Cash ball for Ollie Watkins. First touch didn't really let him down. There was that much pace and direction on the ball that Watkins did well to get it under control. Get it back to Grealish, who teed up Traore, who should be scoring, but he just ballooned it high and wide.
I think you're being harsh on Traore. That would have been one of the goals of the season. The pass from Cash to Watkins is insane, and Watkins' touch is brilliant. Grealish's decision making then, when he gets the ball to roll it back to Traore, and I thought the attempt was pretty good. Like, it goes over the crossbar. It's really annoying that it doesn't go in, but it's like, that would have been an insanely good goal. And I don't think anybody really did anything wrong. Traore could have had a bit more control, but we saw that later on when he tried to have a bit more control and he just drilled it into a body, Ben Mee's body, from the same position.
Yeah,
just that was, I thought that was much worse because it was just a fucking nothing shot. He just essentially hit it with his ankle and hit it really straight instead of putting any sort of shape onto it.
Watkins one-on-one doesn't like one-on-ones. John McGinn ball over the top. Watkins is through. He's under a bit of pressure, but he's behind the defender. Like, the defender's actually in a great position for him in that he knows where he is and he's between him and the ball, and he just can't get it out of his feet in time or well enough to score.
He needs to sort his feet out there. So, like, he has two goals at it and both touches are shit.
Yeah.
Both touches put him in a worse position somehow, and then he has to hit it off the keeper. Nick Pope's a very good goalkeeper and he closes the angle well, but he shouldn't have an opportunity to. That's all on Watkins. That's his chance and he fucks it up. It was a crazy decision from Barkley to shoot on the volley on his left foot. He had a lot more time than he gave himself credit for. He controlled the shot, you know, really well, and it was a good attempt. The fact that he hit the crossbar is brilliant, but fucking hell, mate, take that down. The Pope's just made a save and there's one numpty on the line. Take a touch and just put it in the fucking net.
So would you put Barkley in here as well?
Just because it was such a crazy decision, and it's funny how results just change the narrative in your own head, because at the time I was fairly relaxed about that. I was like, oh, fair fucks to him. That's amazing that he has the confidence to take that on the volley on his left foot. And now I'm saying, what a stupid decision that is to take it on the volley on his left foot.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't include him, because I just thought, oh, you know, well done. And didn't mind he didn't score. I just thought, fuck, he did well to get so close there because of, yeah, he shot from such a ridiculous position. These are all just so annoying because it was 1-0. Villa were so far on top. Just score one of them and the game is over. Like, it is so far over, it's not even funny. Like, the Newcastle one, you've got to score a third, you would score six. Score two here against Burnley, you win comfortably 3 or 4-0. I have one more, just like, there's a lot to pick from, but just these are the standout ones. Matt Target's shooting when Watkins was right there. Amazing ball from Grealish. Target actually has time to go further in. He should pick out Watkins, who's completely free at the back post again. Or he should just score. He hit a straight at Pope. There were so many options. Like, Target played really well again. Amazing ball for Watkins' goal. But just a complete lack of composure there.
Yeah. I couldn't decide if that was just shit execution. I mean, his body shape and the way he strikes the ball with his laces makes you think it's a shot, but surely he's just trying to drill that across to Watkins and he fucks it up. Maybe it's one of those ones where you do neither of what you possibly could do. Yeah, like, because his ball was so good for the goal, I mean, like, Lowton's all over the place there. He's too far away from him, and he's too deep, so he plays Watkins onside, and Watkins takes advantage of that because then he can get in front of me or Tarkowski, whichever one of them it is, and Target's pass is just on the money. And you don't give Target that much space, Conan, like I've always said. But because that was so good, then I decided, yeah, it must have been a shot, and I was like, that was just a terrible fucking decision. It wasn't on from there, and it wasn't the best option.
So who do you have? I have Watkins one-on-one, because he has to start scoring one-on-ones. he's got everything to his game except scoring one-on-ones.
I fought Kanz's header in the guard box free. Villa under pressure was such a big miss in the context of the game. Because I think if we scored that early, we build from there, and it would have been... I mean, we scored pretty early anyway, so maybe I'm talking shit. Yeah, fuck it. Our centre forward needs to score one-on-ones.
Yeah. No, like I almost went with the Konza one as well, but just the more I talk about the Watkins thing, the more annoyed I get.
Yeah.
I see Westwood. Oh, he was playing a ward. I see Westwood, of course, nominated. And one more nomination. I see Westwood won this, obviously, the last time we played Burnley. John McGinn, for his second half performance, I do not know where he went or what he did. I thought he did well in the first half and completely disappeared off the face of the earth in the second half.
Just quickly on Ashley Westwood, because thankfully he's no longer an Aston Villa player, so we won't spend too much time talking on him. There's a couple of moments where I saw Ashley Westwood just get the ball in complete freedom in the pitch, and maybe it must be an instruction because it's so inexplicable. And he just puts his head down and hits it long in the general direction of one of the lumps up top, who are being marked by both Villa centre halves. So what, Mings is just going up and headering it, and Kanz is controlling it. He can't possibly think that's a good ball.
Yeah, this is the important thing. Like, people are fucking idiots. Like, remember Villa fans, like all the people who abuse Ashley Westwood as well, and this is one of the ones that you were right about, so don't back down from that. But when Ashley Westwood got Burnley Player of the Year, it was like, oh, well, look, see, he was good, we just hounded him out. He got Burnley Player of the Year. Think how low that bar is. He got Burnley Player of the Year because he did exactly what was asked of him, which was, as you say, put his head down and hit the ball high. And yeah, he can probably hit the ball high better than Ben Mee. Like, that's how you get Burnley Player of the Year. That is not an achievement. I see Westwood getting Burnley Player of the Year says nothing. When he was at Villa, he did the same thing, only under instruction he didn't give the ball away. So Lambert wanted a centre midfielder to keep the ball. But what he did was just keep his head down and roll it to fucking Ali Sissoko. He ended up giving the ball away. Like, you know, this is what he does. He just, no risk. And him and Sean Dyche are a match made in heaven, because I say Westwood doesn't want to have to make a decision. He wants to keep his head down and put it high. He's winning this category. Fuck that.
Right, what's the next category?
The Vyman meter. Going down, Keenan Davis for everything we said. Going down, Wesley. for not knowing where the fuck he is. And going down, Tyrone Mings. Decision making, touch, pass, and take your pick. And he's also brought a new element into his game, which is 50p head when he's trying to clear it. So instead of just heading the ball forward, he always manages to deflect it out for a throw-in, and seems to love when he puts it out for a throw-in. He's just doing everything wrong. Like, it seems like he can't do the right thing, though. When he tries to do what Konza would do, or what Matt Cash does really well, you know, that first touch that takes it round a player because, you know, of their position, and he sprint past him. When Tyrone Mings tries to do that, he undercooks the first touch, or he just hits it at the player, and then he's completely out of position again on the left wing, and Burnley are coming forward. If we weren't playing these shitbags, he would be exposed a bit more.
Yeah. His head's a fucking mess. How many times is our centre half going to lose the ball on the fucking left wing trying to dribble past somebody?
Yeah.
How has that happened 4 or 5 times in half a season? That is ludicrous.
I don't know. And it brings into question something that I thought, and we've talked about it before, and I was very firm on not wanting this to happen, but it brings back the Courtney House question.
No.
Do you not think so?
No, absolutely not. No, Tyrone Mings is too important to the way Villa play. I mean, the fact that Tyrone Mings is willing to do that is an integral part of how Villa play. Villa haven't by accident ended up with two centre halves that know they can play football. That was why he played Twanzebe and bought Tyrone Mings. This is why he's bought Konsa, because he wants centre halves who can both defend and both play with the ball. Tyrone Mings just needs to sort his fucking head out. He's all over the place. He's trying different things. He's trying to be too calm. He's trying to be too cool. He's all over the fucking place. He just needs to have a word with himself. John Terry needs to have, well, somebody has to have a word with him. He needs to get his head back in order, because that's what the problem is with Tyrone Mings. It's not his ability. Like, once we've seen how good Tyrone Mings can be, we've seen how important he is for Aston Villa, and he needs to get back to that.
One more suggestion for a player going down on the Vyman meter is Ross Barkley. But there was a moment at the start of the second half that summed up what Ross Barkley brings, and I think that people can overlook this very easily. Gets the ball with his back turned at the centre circle. Most people there are playing that pass straight to Matt Target now, who is playing it to Jack Grealish, who has his back to Matt Loughton, who's up his arse. And Grealish isn't in the position. Barkley turns under pressure and carries the ball under pressure. He's not really going anywhere, but it's drawn players to him. Like, the best thing about Grealish is it's the reason the Target was able to set up Watkins, is that he draws players to him all the time. Barkley does that as well. Not as well as Grealish, and he loses the ball way, way more. But just on that then, he draws these players to him, and it's nothing extraordinary. Then he's able to roll it out to Grealish. Meanwhile, now he's got more space, and the fullback has tucked inside because Barkley is running through the middle. Now Grealish is coming with momentum, running at the fullback with the ball and seeing way more options. You know, like, just that one little thing is a big difference of him not playing, and it changes the dynamic of everything. Like, you know, that, as I said, that pass is going to Target, it's going to Grealish, it's going back to Mings, and it's being cleared, and Villa lose the ball. But Barkley being a bit braver and strong on the ball just changes things.
Yeah, the reason there's always an undercurrent whenever I'm talking about Barkley of me thinking that he's shit, it's because I know he's so good.
Yeah.
But Ross Barkley hasn't played that well, particularly since he come back from injury. I mean, like, he makes a lot of sloppy decisions, but he does do things like that which are brilliant. Like, and it's so important to how Villa play. His willingness to run beyond the centre forward even just causes havoc. But yeah, like I've said it before, Villa have got brilliant, aggressive in possession, ball-playing midfielders. And that really destroys teams like Burnley if he would score the fucking chances that you create. I mean, yeah. They've created 47 chances against Burnley in the two games they played against. And a large part of that is because of how they play the ball and because of how the front four particularly take the ball from McGinn and Douglas Luiz. But Barkley absolutely has to go down. The me goal is disgraceful. If you're going to defend with a zonal system combined with blockers, then your blockers have to fucking block. Why is Barkley only looking at the ball? First off, the ball is coming to Ben Mee, so fucking wise up. But also, the ball's coming from 40 yards away. The corner quadrant is 40 yards from where the ball ends up. You can look at both. You've got time to turn to the ball and turn back to Ben Mee to see where he is. He's just staring at the corner kick taker. The ball's going to me. React.
There's a zonal marking question in there, though, because I was actually thinking, what's the point of playing zonal marking if Burnley are going to put 7'3" players in one part of the box and we've got players scattered out around the box in zones?
But the three lads are there to deal with that. Ross Barkley has to just be standing beside me and make sure he can't just run on Ben Mee running unopposed onto your 6-yard box. Fuck off. Do something about it. Barkley's a big lad as well. Put a bit of pressure on him. At least know where he is. Like, how does Ben Mee just rise above two Aston Villa defenders?
Yeah. And there's definitely that question as well, just of where is Barkley going? Like, I get that he was injured, but he was supposed to be back about 2 months ago. Has he not done any fitness work? Why is he fading so fast in games? Yeah, I don't know, it's frustrating. I'll accept that he's going down. Going up, Douglas Luiz, brilliant player. Like, and it's not the time for players going up on the dynamometer, but again, it was the best half that I've seen Villa play. Maybe my target, but we've come to expect him to be the best left back on the planet these days, so I don't know if he can keep going up. And Matt Cash, question mark, best I've seen him play in the first half. Wasn't great in the second half.
Villa were a mess, but like, even the McNeil goal, the defence and its shape, and that includes Matt Cash, but it's Cons as well. Cons is too deep. They're all over the place, and they never get reset. And we're not going off players going down yet. I mean, there's not enough power on that cross for it to be excusable that it went in. Emi Martinez has to come back down. He has to come back onto the Vitamin meter.
Oh no!
All at the very top, but he has to deal with that cross.
I don't know. I thought it was Mings. I thought Mings is there to clear it, and I know I can understand why Mings is afraid of hitting it, but I thought he was the one that's in position. Like, there's a player coming in with Mings, and I thought Martinez was aware of that, and Mings has to act because Martinez can't because he's ready for a shot.
Well, is Martinez not the player that we want to be making decisions in those situations?
Rather than Tyrone Mings, yeah.
Tyrone Mings. You're right. Martinez, he decides to wait to see if there's a toe put onto the ball, which is fair enough. But there's nothing on the fucking cross. Get across quicker to that. I think he's got enough time to react to that ball trickling into the side of the net.
We can bring him back onto the meter because I did think of him when he didn't come out. Did you see Konza roaring the head off him?
Yeah.
And it was great to see, and you can see it clearly, just three syllables, come out, man. But yeah, absolutely pissed off that he has had to react and firefight again, use his speed to get the ball out for a throw-in or whatever it was, and it just got up and said, like, basically, what the fuck are you doing? Are you sleeping back here? And it was like, Konza is keeping Martinez on it now. So maybe combined with that, and the goal, yeah. But like, again, I just think Mings needs to be sticking his right foot on it. It's like, it's one of those ones that, do you know when a player scores an OG and it's like, he shouldn't have touched it? It's like, well, he had to touch it because, yeah, it was going to be a goal anyway. That's sort of similar. The ball's going into the net. Put your fucking big toe around that and get rid of it.
Yeah, I it's just because that goal needs explaining, and maybe I'm reaching by blaming Martinez, but like, you know, something's fucking gone wrong there.
Yeah. Anybody else you want to go down?
Nah, fucking, let's just move on.
Questions we can't answer, but probably will. At what stage did the Premier League do something about Burnley?
Yeah, because we're such purists, we can't appreciate what everybody else appreciates, I suppose.
Like, it's funny, I was thinking about this a lot last night. I had a terrible sleep, and you know, I used to be a big fan, I still am, of, like, you know, the underdog, and I even like when a team, you know, just maximises their shitness, basically, and does, you know, plays at the absolute limit of what they can do, and I like when teams employ spoiling tactics as well. They get results when they wouldn't get them otherwise. Like, Burnley don't beat Villa, they play them at football, so it would sort of be stupid, but it's just a terrible advertisement for English football. Like, the club itself are so pointless. They can barely even get 200 likes on some of their tweets. Like, Burnley is a pandemic at this rate in the Premier League. And nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to be wanting to do anything about it. Like, yeah, there needs to be action taken. Like, it's out of control.
We need to lock down Burnley.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. Burnley can't take Villa on in a football match, so they would be stupid not to. And to get the result they did last night is good. I mean, they definitely deserved the result last night. The 0-0 draw was, they didn't deserve that. But like, why throw Burnley at the front?
Just like, look, you've had enough chances. What, 7 years? Like, this isn't working for anybody. Get the fuck out.
I'll start the campaign. See if we can get more than 200 likes on the tweet we put out.
Like, what's the point? Like, they're not developing as a club. They're not, like, you know, it doesn't seem like Burnley would be worse off if they'd been in the Championship. They would still seemingly just be breaking even, existing, well, keeping some people employed.
That's the question for Burnley fans. It's great being in the Premier League, but do you want to be in the Premier League watching that shit? Or would you prefer to be in the... Would you prefer to be Brentford?
Yeah. That's a good question, because he probably would, because the ceiling is way higher, because they obviously have ambition and they want to do something and it's fun.
But even if the ceiling wasn't, if just say the ceiling was the Championship, but they were playing decent football and competing and getting into playoffs and stuff, I think I'd prefer to be a Brentford fan. Like, who cares if you get to watch Mo Salah? You're just watching Mo Salah run past your players and score. Really bad example, because they did fucking brilliantly against Liverpool recently. But this is the thing, like, Burnley would be stupid to not play like that against teams like Liverpool and Villa, but it's the fact that they only play like that.
Yeah.
Like, they will play like that against Sam Allardyce's West Brom. Yeah. They will play like that against Steve Bruce's Newcastle. And this is the question. Like, you know, it should be mixing and matching. You can't just have that. That can't be what you serve up to your fans every fucking week.
So this brings it on to one of the questions I have. Does Sean Dyche deserve credit?
No. But, like, Sean Dyche, and I said this already, Sean Dyche didn't get those points for Burnley. They just happened to him. Like, Villa didn't lose 5 points. Sorry, Burnley didn't get 4 points off Villa. Villa lost 5 points against Burnley. They just didn't fucking score their chances. Or Ross Barkley didn't realise that Ben Mee was good from corner kicks. You know, this was nothing to do. It was just pure luck. Like, Sean Dyche didn't think before the first game, El Ghazi will miss 10 chances here.
Yeah.
He didn't think before that game that Traore would just fucking flop around inside his box. Like, he didn't account for all this stuff happening. He just said, get out there, work hard, and toss the ball up top to two of our tossers up there.
Last one, quick one. Is there such a thing as a cultured right foot?
This is the old classic thing as well, though. You know, whenever somebody's got a left foot, everybody always shouts out, he's left. Yeah. Like, yeah. Why do you never say that whenever somebody's on the right foot? Most people are only good on one foot. Why do you only pick, like, well done, you've seen that he's left footed. Congratulations. And the other thing is that people who are left-footed generally have practiced on their right as well.
Yeah.
So they typically end up making that person look like an absolute tit. But no, to answer your question, there isn't.
Well, did they finish on a bit of a high before we go to play Southampton away? Fuck's sake. Got a nice email. Please keep sending us emails at thevillapodcast@gmail.com. This email is sort of out of date now, so I won't read it all out. It was prescient in that it was sent about 12 hours before, what do you call it, the PGMOL. Well, they backtracked and changed the rules to allow, or like to basically say that if that goal Man City scored when Mings lost the ball to Rodri, that would no longer be allowed. You know, it's like, great, thanks for changing the rules again mid-season and us losing points because of it. But this email was basically explaining exactly why that rule will change or should change, and why the Watkins one, which I didn't really agree with, but why the Watkins one should be allowed. But I wanted to read it at the start of it. It says, hi, Conan and Liam. I'm a lifelong Villa fan, season ticket holder. Really enjoy listening to your pods for a range of reasons, but making me laugh is the main one. That's nice, but this is the best part. Love the blind pilot tune at the start also.
Well, I think the fact that we make him laugh, and the fact that he likes the blind pilot tune, both of those factors really reveal how poor a taste he has.
Anybody else out there who loves the blind pilot tune, send us an email at thevillapodcast@gmail.com. Look, terrible result. No getting away from it, and I'm not going to be one of these people who says, but it's going well, everything's going great. It is, but fuck that. Burnley beat us. Let's accept it. and we'll see you on Saturday night. All the best. That wind is calling my name, and I won't wait,
or I'll never get on. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.